Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Not only is it August, which is weird enough for me to say out loud, I'll just admit it, I have no idea how we got to August. Every month that we put in the rearview mirror, I think, how did that happen? And I'm still in that same place. We're into month number 8 of 2020. At times, it's been snail's pace. Oh, no, forget that. A slug's pace. A sloth's pace. An ancient sea turtle's pace. On land, not in the water. But at times, it's flying by. And here we are, beginning of August, with a full weekend of sporting events. A full weekend of games. So many storylines and headlines, I can't possibly get to them all in a four-hour show. And much to the chagrin of one of our listeners, Doug, who found me on Twitter, he believes I should do an eight-hour show. I told him there was no way unless I had more coffee and more snacks and took another nap, which isn't going to happen. So I hope you enjoyed it. We've been waiting all this time for sports to return, those of us who are big fans. And despite the doom and gloom, the sports world is proving doubters wrong. From Toronto to Edmonton to Orlando and everywhere in between. You got to be honest, if you're really watching the landscape, there's more success than failure. There are more positives than negatives. There are more games going on than not. And somehow still, there's a large segment of the population that prefers to focus on the negative and the doom and the gloom. But that's not me, which probably makes me unpopular with the negative Nellies. But, you know, I got stuff to do, so I can't focus on that.
Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
I had to stretch out my remote finger this weekend. My channel-changing skills, they had gone a bit dormant, but I got them up and running. There was baseball. There was basketball. There was hockey. There was golf. There was NASCAR. There was the WNBA. There was soccer. It was everywhere. And yes, I'm yelling just a little bit. Like I said, we can't possibly cover it all, but we're going to mix as much in as we can, along with the latest from the NFL world. And there's still a lot of question marks there, just as there were for baseball, just as there were for the NBA and the NHL. Football has got its work cut out for it. And they're not yet in a space where they can go full speed ahead. But you know what Monday is? The first day of team practices for many franchises. The first day of all team meetings for other franchises. These teams can afford to be uber careful because they're nowhere near the start of the season. We're still 5 weeks out. 6 weeks for most teams, but about 5 weeks out from the season opener as it is scheduled now. So teams can afford to be cautious. Teams can afford to take all kinds of precautions. Teams can afford to send all five rookies home just to be on the safe side. Teams can afford to put players, even starting quarterbacks, on their COVID-19 injured list, or it's a special list. You don't even have to test positive to be on the list. You maybe came in contact with someone who maybe has the virus. That's how cautious the NFL can afford to be right now, because there's no rush. Yeah, they want to get into training camp, have face-to-face meetings, have conditioning and workouts, and start to practice, but with no preseason games and nothing on tap until September 10th at the earliest, the sense of urgency is not there. Instead, this is a time for players to get healthy, for teams to be safe, and to get organized before they go full speed ahead. So there's a lot going on, and I have to tell you the truth, I didn't think I would be this excited when everything returned. Because it's work, you know? Yes, I'm a sports fan. And yes, I picked this job because I get to talk about sports for a living. But I didn't think I would be this excited, this enthusiastic. I took Friday and Saturday and really checked out for a good portion of it. Not all of it, but I took my first mini road trip. Actually slept out of town in someone else's house for the first time since early March. So 5 months since I had done any traveling. I played golf for the first time to wrap up July. I put a couple of pictures up actually on Twitter and on my Facebook page. And so I did take a little time away, but then come Saturday night and Sunday, I was all about staring at the tube, taking a few notes, both mental and literal, and just watching it, listening to it, absorbing it, and being really excited because we waited so long to get here. And it's working. That's the part that's so great. The majority of these teams have done everything asked of them, and they are seeing their efforts pay off, which is awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you had a great weekend. Wait until I tell you about my round of golf, which was my first round of golf in over 2 years. I know, it's terrible. Now I've got the bug again. I already had the bug, but I didn't have anyone to golf with. Now I have the bug and a friend to golf with. But also, my latest conversation with 98-year-old Grammy Helen. Oh my goodness, you guys are going to laugh. Doesn't matter what else is going on in my life. A 15-minute conversation with my Grammy gives me a jolt of joy. I hope you have people in your life that can do the same for you. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As is always the case, whenever we have a big sports weekend, there's good news, there's the bad news, there's the ugly news. So we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend for sure. Here's the funny news, and we'll start with what happened most recently. Do you know that the NBA is using the hashtag whole new game for their restart in Orlando? I'm sure you've seen that. If you've watched any of the games or if you've seen anything on social media, actually, if you're on Twitter, just try it. Hashtag whole new game. It pops right up. But as I was watching Milwaukee and Houston, you know what I kept thinking? No, this is not a whole new game for the Rockets. It's the same old game. It's just a brand new location. Do you know? Here's your first nerd alert. I got to practice that too. Your first nerd alert of this edition of After Hours. Houston tied the NBA record for most three-point attempts in a regulation game. That's not a whole new game. That's what the Rockets do. It doesn't matter where they are. That's what they do. That is who they are. 61 three-point attempts. Gag me with a spoon. Like I said, there was good, there was bad, there was ugly. So 61 three-point attempts against the Bucks. They made 21 of them. If you look at the box score, it's actually comical because the Bucks only took 35. The Rockets nearly took double the number of three-pointers, but they took fewer shots. So think about that. The Bucks took more shots overall, but about half as many three-point attempts. But that's the dealio, yo. You can take a bunch of bad shots, but if you make enough threes, you're right there in it. And that is what they do. PJ Tucker, 3 of 12 from beyond the arc. I won't go through the whole thing. Russell Westbrook, he only took 3 triple attempts. James Harden, 3 of 12 from beyond the arc. They dial it up and let it fly. Chuck and duck. But so that to me is the ugly. I'm not a big fan of that style of play. I know it has worked for them to a point, but what do they always do? They always run into a glass ceiling. Here's what made the difference against the Bucks down the stretch. Their defense. So the Bucks had an 8-point lead, a couple of minutes left in the game, and the Rockets were able to force some major turnovers. Bunch of steals, some sloppiness there by the Bucks. But Houston overall forced 22 giveaways. And to be able to cut that lead from it was an 8-point lead from Milwaukee with about 3 minutes remaining. And then Houston scores the next 9 points. And a couple of the big plays that helped to spark that run were defensive. A steal from P.J. Tucker, a block from James Harden on Giannis. We may never see that again. And so Houston puts together a 9-0 run. And they're able to use their defense to spark their offense in stretches, which is a whole new game for the Rockets. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Russell Westbrook with 31 points in this one. So he took 21 shots. He ended up with 31 points, 8 assists. Harden, not a great shooting night, but had 24 points, 7 boards, 7 assists. Also 6 steals, though. So that's a big deal for James Harden. And the Bucks, because of their sloppiness and because they could not protect the lead, still sit at a magic number of 1 to clinch the top seed in the East. We hope to have some post-game reaction from that Orlando battle a little bit later in the show. It was pretty cool to see these guys get out there and flex their muscles. And you had a little bit of everything. What I noticed is some sloppiness, some rust, which is to be expected. Not the entire game, not every player. You would see flashes of brilliance, and then you would see teams kind of fall off the cliff. So they put together a 37-point quarter, and then they come back the next quarter and score 21. So they're still finding that rhythm and groove. But we've already had some pretty impressive individual performances, like TJ Warren of the Pacers, 53. That happened on Saturday. He was 20 of 29 from the field and 9 of 12 from downtown. So a career-high 53 points for TJ Warren. Really cool. Jaylen Brown with a big game for the Boston Celtics on Sunday. Jaylen also used some 3-point shooting late to be able to rally the Celtics again. So they had a big lead against Portland. Damian Lillard says the Blazers used so much energy to get back into the game that they fell flat in the final few minutes. But it was competitive. It was close and it was competitive, probably more than it should have been after the Celtics built a double-digit lead. But Jaylen finished 6 of 8 from beyond the arc, 30 points for him to go along with 6 rebounds. Jason Tatum with 34 points and 8 assists. And so those guys are critical if the Celtics are going to make any kind of a run in the playoffs. Still a lot of questions, not only about Zion Williamson, but from Zion Williamson. As the Pelicans struggle, as they're trying to punch their ticket into the playoffs, but they're missing their big man for most of the game. So he is still on a minutes restriction. And because of that, when the Pelicans are fighting tooth and nail down the stretch, he is sitting on the bench. And so no doubt that's frustrating for him. In fact, as much as he tries to hide his facial expressions, and I know he's supportive of his team, but you can see it on his face when he's in the staging area, otherwise known as the bench, and his teammates are playing out a loss in the end.
Nah, they weren't holding me back. I did want to be out there, but I'm just working my way back into my flow. That's all it is.
Right now, the Pelicans are 0-2 inside the bubble, and they've got the Grizzlies coming up on Monday evening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Big Saturday night game between the Lakers and the Raptors. And it was a huge performance from the veteran point guard, Kyle Lowry.
Lowry on the dribble. Near side,
he got
right
the mismatch
wing.
Again, Jonesy.
He's got Kuzma. Going to go to work. Kyle, pull up. Three in the air. Good! In the bottom of the well. Lowry splashes it home. Give Kyle 30. Frank Vogel wants a timeout. 97-86. The Raptor lead is 11.
Lowry finished with 33 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, and his defense was a pain in the rear. Let's just be honest. It is no fun. When Lowry is locked in, it is no fun to see him on defense. And this was a big game for the defending NBA champions against the Lakers, who, of course, have everything to play for in Orlando.
Nick says he's going to kind of ease it back in and use it as exhibition, but our competitive spirits, we got too many competitive guys out there that want to go out there and play and hoop and win games. And, especially playing against a guy like the Lakers and, with a team that's number one in the West, the competitive juices get going.
No doubt. I felt that way about the basketball that I've seen so far and the hockey too, actually. We'll talk a little bit about the NHL and what are now the Stanley Cup playoffs. They pop right in. These play-in series that are taking place, it's a unique feature in 2020. I know many of you found me on Twitter this weekend to talk about the hockey, and it was pretty cool. When I first turned on the TV after my 24-hour respite, it was Saturday evening, and the first thing I found was playoff hockey, and the intensity was there. It was there in Edmonton. It was there in Toronto. You can tell these guys were chomping at the bit to get out there. Same thing with the NBA. As much as there is some rust, and I think with hockey, you can see it in the sloppiness. So there were a lot of penalties in the first 24 hours plus, first 36 hours. A lot of penalties. Guys just not quite in a rhythm. And you know what happens when you're out of your rhythm? You often clutch and grab. You often take liberties on defense. You miss your mark. You don't take the right angle. And so you try to compensate. So there are a lot of penalties. But I suspect that will die down and guys will be more efficient. And we'll see these teams find that rhythm. But isn't that the point of the 8 seeding games for the NBA? I'm pretty sure it is. I think it's also the point of these play-in series as well. Give these teams play-in series plus these seeding games for the top 4 in the East and the West, gives them a chance to stretch their legs, gives them a chance to get comfortable on skates or on the court again. Because we all know when there's exhibitions, it's not the same intensity. Everybody knows they're not playing for anything. In fact, you're trying just not to get hurt. Speaking of getting hurt, from the Orlando Magic, the late breaking news that Jonathan Isaac tore his ACL, which just sucks. One weekend in, and we know injuries are always a part of sports. But gosh, it's even more of a pang for me. I hate it even more because they've waited so long to get back. They've worked so hard. They've wondered. They've waited some more. They've gone through testing. And now to have to go through a major knee surgery and rehab. So Jonathan Isaac just finding out a little while ago that he tore his ACL. Sabrina Ionescu, actually the top pick in the WNBA draft this spring out of Oregon. She has a severe ankle injury and could be out a month. The WNBA just started a week ago. And so that sucks for her too, playing with the New York Liberty and finally realizing her pro basketball dreams. But it's not all ugly and it's not all bad. There was a lot of good as well. And I can't wait to go through most of what we saw. I can't promise you we're going to get to everything. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What was the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? Let's go straight sports. Hey, how many of you jokers have been telling me to stick to sports this spring? Well, look, we're going to stick to sports. No doom and gloom, though, because that's boring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Barnes to Judge. Curveball. Fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. Aaron Judge. Adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty.
You know, our offense is feeding off of each other. Our bullpen's doing their job. yeah, we're just having fun out there. I think a lot of us are just glad to be having some baseball and to be back out on the field. So, yeah, like you said, it was a tough grind out game tonight against the Red Sox like it usually is. But, some guys came up with some clutch hits and we were able to come out with a win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you watch one thing all weekend, if that's it, if you watch one highlight from the weekend, there are actually two I'd recommend, and I'm not really sure which one I would put in front of the other. I think it's a tie for first place. One of those would be the Avalanche scoring with 0.1 seconds to go in the third period, so 0.1 seconds to go in regulation, to avoid overtime and beat the St. Louis Blues. That was pretty incredible. 0.1 seconds off the post. Pretty crazy. And the other tied for first place of highlights you must see from the weekend, Aaron Judge in his second home run. It looked like the Derby. It looked like he tattooed the ball and it was never coming down. It did eventually in the second deck. It was smashed, smushed, crushed, blasted. As Ricky Ricardo said on the Yankees radio network, Aaron Judge is guilty of all those things. By the way, for those of you who love baseball play-by-play and miss the voice of John Sterling, he is better. He's home from the hospital, according to the reports on radio and TV, and he's expected to rejoin the Yankees very soon. So that's good. This was not virus-related. Same thing with Terry Francona. Not sure if you heard this, but he actually left the Cleveland Indians for a gastrointestinal ailment of some sort. He's had some health issues in the past, and so he could be away from the team for a few games, but the Indians are moving forward without him. Also not virus-related, but it was good to hear that John Sterling should be returning to the microphone. But for now, it's Ricky Ricardo, and it's Aaron Judge, and in a year in which nothing is typical, we cannot say that 2020 is typical, can we? Red Sox Yankees Sunday Night Baseball, absolutely typical.
Aaron Judge is guilty.
As much as sometimes I roll my eyes at the extensive home run calls for the New York Yankees from John Sterling, I mean, he's very flowery. He goes on and on. It used to be one gimmicky phrase. Now it's three gimmicky phrases for every home run. But anyway, as much as I sometimes roll my eyes at those, to hear anyone else do it is just weird. Nothing against Ricky Ricardo, who is their Spanish language voice, but it's just odd. It's jarring after 30-something years of John Sterling. Not that I've been listening all 30-something years, but you catch my drift. So make sure you see the Aaron Judge homer in what was the eighth inning. And then make sure you see the Avalanche scoring with 0.1 seconds to go. But back to what was typical about Red Sox-Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball.
All rise.
Oh, hi, John. So nice to hear from you again. Four leads for the Red Sox. Four rallies by the Yankees. Four blown leads by the Red Sox pitching staff. Four ties by the Yankees. Until the Aaron Judge home run. Have I mentioned it was a no-doubter from the second he swung the bat? He is definitely in a groove. My hope is that he will stay healthy and play the entire season. It feels like 60 games might be right in his wheelhouse. So Yankees, Red Sox, a lot of back and forth seesaw affair. Red Sox could not hold a lead, not even in the late stages. And I heard the Red Sox radio team, including the Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione, say this was the most painful loss of the season for the Sox. Now, it's early on, but that's the point. The point is that you don't have time to dilly-dally around. You don't have time to go through these swoons, shall we call them. So as I mentioned, Red Sox-Yankees typical on Sunday night, but you know what else is typical? Oh yeah, Orioles in second place. We all saw that coming. The Red Sox are in the basement of the East, 3-7, a worse record than the Blue Jays and the Rays, who just got swept by the Orioles. Right, like I said, we all saw that coming. Yankees at 7-1 have the best record in the major leagues through Sunday night. But there are some other really impressive starts. Teams out there that also have 7 wins. The Dodgers in Clayton Kershaw's return. Really good to see him out on the mound. Remember, it was delayed because he pulled, tweaked, sprained, whatever term you'd like to use, a back muscle when he was lifting weights 2 days before he was supposed to pitch on opening night. But he comes back for the Dodgers against the Diamondbacks, throws 5 2/3 scoreless in his debut, only allows 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, and they allowed him to pitch until there were 2 outs in the 6th inning. So it's good to see him out there again. So Dodgers have 7 wins. Cubs have 7 wins. They're sitting on top of the NL Central. The Braves have 7 wins. They've won 5 in a row. Then you look at the AL Central. The Twins also have 7 wins. And as I mentioned, the Yankees, who have the best winning percentage, only 1 loss. Now remember, they missed a couple of games because they were in that whole Marlins-Phillies rotation until the schedule was tweaked. The flex scheduling has come to Major League Baseball. So good stuff. Maybe we can find a replay of Aaron Judge's home run and put it up on our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS. What was the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? I'm excited for your answers. I've given you a couple of mine. Josh says, hi, love your show. Thanks, Josh. For me, it would be the Rockets beating the Bucks. Yeah, you want to talk about pre-playoff warm-up. That's huge. And it's going to be on these courts in Orlando. So you don't have to worry about home court advantage for one team over another. That was a big victory for the Rockets, and late stages was about defense.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
As always, when we have a full sports weekend, it's a mixed bag. The good, the bad, the ugly, the confusing, the weird, the strange, the misunderstandings, the impossible to understandings. I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it was too good to be true with Yoenis Cespedes. There was no way he was going to make it through the entire season, even if it's only 60 games. He can't do it. You know that whole adrenaline spike that we get? They say our bodies have this adrenaline spike, fight or flight. When we get scared, when we get nervous, when something happens that puts us in a situation where we're uncomfortable or we're not familiar, fight or flight. For Yoenis, it's always flight. And usually he has an injury to bail him out, to explain why he's absent or not where he's supposed to be. Nope, that wasn't the case on Sunday, but boy, did he cause a stir. There were people actually worried about him because he didn't bother to tell the team he wasn't showing up. Oh, and he didn't bother to tell the Mets. He left their team hotel. He up and decided he didn't want to play anymore. He was going to opt out of the rest of the season and didn't let anyone know. He left it to his agent to clean up his mess. Even if you have zero respect for your bosses, and I get it, I've worked for people that have not treated me well and didn't respect me and I didn't like, I never once have not shown up for work when I was supposed to be there. And I sure as heck have never not shown up and not told anyone I wasn't going to be there. But that is the way that Yoenis does things. He likes to be covert. Although I don't think that's why he does it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. And it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Top of the hour, we'll spend some time in Milwaukee and we'll talk to one reporter who covers the Bucks in their quest to earn the top seed in the East, but also in their quest, they coughed up an 8-point lead in the final 3 minutes against Houston on Sunday evening. So that's coming up just after the top of the hour here on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter and Facebook, we've got a spot up where you can tell us the best thing you saw this weekend in sports. And Dave has retweeted a video from MLB of the Aaron Judge home run. I feel like calling it a home run doesn't do it justice. Just go watch it. You'll understand what I'm talking about. So check it out on Twitter and then answer the question. Best thing you saw this weekend in sports. We've waited a long time to have a full weekend. A smorgasbord. I have not used that word about sports in so long. We had a full smorgasbord. Everything that you could possibly ask for except for football, but that's coming. There's plenty of football news. So Yoenis does not show up for the game against the Braves on Sunday. The team actually sent security to his hotel room because they were worried about Yoenis. He wasn't there. Oh, and guess what? His belongings were gone as well. So this wasn't a robbery of his hotel room. There was no foul play. And actually, earlier on Sunday, this was actually the big story while the game was going on. The fact that they couldn't find him. The Mets released a statement from general manager Brody Van Wagenen indicating they couldn't reach him. They didn't know where he was. This is what the statement said. He did not reach out to management with any explanation for his absence. Our attempts to contact him have been unsuccessful. They finally heard from his agent.
First and foremost, I'm glad to say and to hear that he's healthy and he's safe. And we learned during the game today, late in the game, that he's decided to opt out of the remainder of the season for COVID-related reasons.
It was too good to be true. Do you remember how Yoenis became the answer to a trivia question to start the season? First National League DH to homer. He did that in the Mets season opener. It was Friday, July 24th. I don't know how long I'll remember that, but I knew it was too good to be true. There was no way he was going to stay put. He gets antsy. Do you remember that movie Runaway Bride with Julia Roberts? That's Yoenis Cespedes. He cannot do it. Things are going well. He's healthy. He's hitting home runs. He's productive. Just like the Runaway Bride. Theoretically, everything's great. She's about to get married. But she gets happy feet. When the wedding gets closer, she ditches her grooms at the altar. That is Yoenis Cespedes. He is the runaway bride. I'm about to tweet that. That's pretty brilliant on my part. I wonder how many people are going to get the reference. Chris, you are a millennial. How many people? This is not a millennial movie, I do not believe. Though Julia Roberts is relevant no matter what the era. How many people do you think will get the runaway bride reference?
15%.
Which means I'm definitely going to do it. Can you imagine the self-control required of GM Brody Van Wagenen as he was talking to the media following the game? Or maybe it's just me. I would have been red-faced and livid.
First off, you know, we support everybody's and every player's right to make this type of decision. And, you know, this is a challenging time for everyone. And so we will support him in that decision. It was surprising without question.
You think?
And it's at the same point, we have to go forward.
He is very diplomatic. He's used to speaking like an agent, of course, because that's where he was before he became the GM of the Mets. So he manages to stay self-controlled. He manages to stay even keel. I would stink at that job. Because I it's not true that I can't keep my opinions to myself, but I like this job better where I get paid to express my opinions. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Kenny, who's in Albany. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
What's up? Thanks for taking my call. First off, Red Sox fans, have some. All right. I grew up in New England. I did catch your Runaway Bride reference.
Woo!
It wasn't a good decade for Yankee fans, but I love what's happening right now. I feel like we already buried him before we even play him next week. And Judge, he might start getting the Bonds treatment. I mean, I swear to God, it might be worth walking in with the bases loaded, because this guy, he's striking out less, walking more, and I can't wait. I think we're one arm away from just running away with it. Thanks.
You're welcome, Kenny. Thanks so much for calling. Yeah, there's a lot to be excited about if you are a Yankees fan. A couple of things as he was talking about the Red Sox. 11 of the last 12 games at Yankee Stadium against Boston have been won by New York. And so right now they're dominating the home portion. But we know the Red Sox have a pitching issue for the second straight year. It was already bad, and now they've got guys injured. And so it's going from bad to worse. So the Red Sox did not address their pitching situation in a way that was sufficient. And especially in a situation like 2020, where you have so many games on top of so many games. In fact, we could have doubleheaders, though we're starting to see the 7-inning doubleheaders implemented now. In fact, Trevor Bauer, our favorite pitcher from Cincinnati, becoming the answer to a trivia question himself. He is the first ever Major League Baseball pitcher to toss a complete game 7-inning victory.
Man lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
They do not. And so that's one thing about the Red Sox Yankees. But also in terms of the Yankees, I think it's relatively obvious that this team has been built to win a World Series. Last year they were so beset by injuries themselves, and still they have continued to blast the baseball. So their pitching staff has a couple of holes as well. But I don't know that that's unique to any one or even a handful of teams right now. Every team is trying to figure out this pitching rotation. And we're finding out that the hitters are way ahead of the pitchers. It was interesting how many baseball analysts expected it to be the opposite, that the pitchers would be ahead of the hitters in terms of timing, but it's not that way. Something else that's typical in 2020, even though 2020 itself is not, maybe you saw this, but through the first week of baseball games, home runs are up and strikeouts are up, continuing where they left off in 2019. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So what is the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? This is a straight sports question. I love it. Let's see. Jacob on Twitter says Aaron Judge going bananas. And he sends a bananas emoji. I've gotten to this pattern where I can't send a text or post a tweet without an emoji. It feels like the tweet or the text is naked without an emoji. Let's see. Derek says the Raptors' epic fourth quarter to put away the Lakers. So referring to Saturday night. Best thing you saw this weekend in sports. Also, if you post on my Facebook page and you tell me I don't care or sports are dead to me or whatever else, I'm going to delete it. You want to play the stubborn game? Let's play the stubborn game. Don't be... I just had to use my V-chip. I was about to say a word that I shouldn't say on the radio. So don't be like that. Well, if you are like that, fine. I'm still going to delete it. Because, you know, in the end, my name is still on the Facebook page, so I get to censor it if I want to.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
We have waited so long for this, and now there's still some of you who can't enjoy it. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. For the life of me. Why are you listening to this show then? Why are you on the Facebook page? That's probably not the right site for you, you think? Dawn on Facebook says, without a doubt, watching the Blackhawks upset the Oilers in game one of their series. And then she said the last second goal, Blues and Avalanche. So this is the TV call from NBC Sports, but it's still pretty darn cool. This was clock running down, and I mean just under the wire.
Landeskog is here. Up top, it's McCarr. Two to go, one to go. Landeskog shoots. He hit the post.
But I don't see the clock.
Cloudy. The post and in. Like Cad repeat.
It's always fun when we have to piece it together. But in fact, it was a goal with 0.1 seconds remaining. So it looked like a goal, and then they had to review it. And if you were on social media at the time, you might have seen how across the board, a lot of sports analysts and TV peeps all waiting to see the call from the officials about whether or not the goal would be good. Of course, they're going to review that. So it was pretty cool. There was drama all around in basketball, in hockey, in baseball. Good stuff. I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, well, maybe you could watch the Weather Channel, because there is what is right now a tropical storm, expected to be a hurricane, Isaias. I love that they name them and they go alphabetically. So we just had Hannah. Now we have Isaias, which is similar to Isaiah, only there's no H, there's an S. It's actually running parallel to the Atlantic coast of Florida, and it's just far enough offshore at this point that the coast of Florida is not getting pounded. But there are bands of rain and heavy wind gusts that are kind of wrapping around onto the coastline. And because of the storm track that it's on, it's supposed to hit Charleston, South Carolina, and then half of North Carolina, as well as on up the Atlantic seaboard. And so there's a lot of people in the path of this storm, even if it is a tropical storm, expected to be sustained winds of greater than 70 miles per hour in some places, a lot of rain. I know that the North Carolina governor is already recommending that his people get ready and be prepared, but also stay safe. All right, we'll talk more about the Bucks Rockets coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.